Okay, till Bhante Dhammajiva returns, we are going to have the Dhamma discussion, English Dhamma discussion at this time. So, we are going to start a new one, a new series, again in the Sutta Nipata. For the English Dhamma discussion, previously they were discussing what we call Sariputta Sutta, and almost it is completed. And so we thought of getting to the next topic, and that is what we call Parayana Vagga. Parayana Vagga is very, very interesting part, fairly interesting, as well as Buddha's early teachings are included there, and certain verses explained there are sometimes again referred at some other occasions. Say, for example, certain questions asked by these, actually the story behind this is 16 Brahmins are approaching to meet the Buddha, and so they ask various questions. So that's what we are going to discuss today, how that has happened. And so the interesting point is, so the Buddha's answers are later even come forward. How the way? Come. So, what happened is sometimes Buddha himself refers the sermons that he delivered to these Brahmins at some other occasions. And even certain monks are discussing why Buddha has mentioned like this, what is the exact meaning of this particular verse. So, likewise, so the verses available in this Parayana Vagga, Attaka Vagga, so they are very profound, and monks are discussing about them, and certain ones are actually memorizing all these verses because it has given an essence of Dhamma. So likewise, this Parayana Vagga and Attaka Vagga are very beautiful, concise, and mostly Buddha's early teachings are included. And we'll start today with the Vattu Gatha, how the Parayana Vagga comes to being. And we'll go one by one. Maybe I'll tell the Pali one, and then you can go through the English one. Okay.
Also an introductory story.
Yeah, that's what the Vattu Gatha. We are not immediately going to the, you know, what we call the Ajita's things. Rather, it may have the English one, right? So it may have the story, starting with the story.
Yes. Well, there's a story about two kings meeting, one from Varanasi and one from another kingdom.
Ah.
It's an introductory story.
Maybe in the commentary then.
Yes.
Okay. Then you can. Probably start with that then. So I invite Venerable Dhamma Vijita to start with that story then.
Okay. Thank you, Swaminanda.
What's the page number?
It's 1221, the origin of the introductory verses of the chapter on the way to the beyond. Okay, so that story is as follows. In the past, it is said that there was a carpenter, a citizen of Varanasi, who was peerless in the lineage of his own teacher. He had 16 pupils, each of whom in turn had 1,000 students. Thus, including both teachers and students, there were altogether 16,017 men who earned their living in dependence on Varanasi. They would go to a mountainous area where they would collect trees, and prepare them in various shapes for making mansions. Having built a raft, they would bring them to Varanasi. If the king wished, they constructed a one-story mansion or a 70-story mansion and gave it to him. If not, they would sell them to others and thereby support their wives and children. One day their teacher reflected, "It isn't possible to earn a living by carpentry forever. This kind of work is hard when one gets old." He then addressed his students, "Dears, bring some softwood trees, such as fig trees and so forth." They agreed and brought such trees. He made from them a wooden bird, entered it, and started the machine. The wooden bird rose up into the sky like a royal Garuda, coasted above the woods, and landed in front of the students. Then the teacher told them, "My dears, by making such wooden vehicles, we can gain a kingdom anywhere in Jambudipa. You build them too. Let's win a kingdom. It is hard to live by carpentry." They did so and told the teacher, who asked them, "Which realm should we acquire?" "Varanasi, teacher." "Enough, my dears. Don't think of this. If we were to gain this realm, people would refer to us as the Carpenter King, the Carpenter Prince, and we would always be called Carpenter." "Jambudipa is large. Let's go elsewhere." Having embarked on the wooden vehicles, along with their wives and children, with their weapons ready, they headed toward the Himalayas. They entered a certain city in the Himalayas and besieged the residence of the king. They acquired rulership there and anointed their teacher as ruler. He became known as King Wooden Vehicle. The city, too, because it had been acquired by him, was named Wooden Vehicle City. And so, too, the entire realm. King Wooden Vehicle was righteous, and so, too, the princes. The 16 pupils were appointed to the post of ministers. Being benefited by the king with the four means of attracting and sustaining a retinue, the realm became extremely successful, prosperous, and secure. The citizens were deeply fond of the king and his retinue, saying, "We have gained an excellent king, an excellent royal retinue." One day, some merchants bringing merchandise from the middle districts came to Wooden Vehicle City. They took a present and visited the king, who asked them, "From where have you come?" "From Varanasi, Lord." He asked them about all the news there and said, "Establish a bond of friendship between us and your king." They agreed. He gave them a gratuity, and when the time came for their departure, he again spoke to them kindly and sent them off. When they reached Varanasi, they informed the king. The king declared, "Starting today, I exempt merchants who come from Wooden Vehicle City from customs duties." And he added,
"Very similar, no? I mean, very similar administration."
Yes, yeah, they're very kindly, good kings. Is that right, Bhante?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So they're exempted from customs duties. And he added, "Let King Wooden Vehicle be my friend." In this way, the two had never met, they became friends. King Wooden Vehicle, too, announced to his entire city, "Starting from today, I exempt merchants who come from Varanasi from customs duties, and a gratuity should be given to them." Then the king of Varanasi sent a letter to King Wooden Vehicle saying, "If anything wonderful worthy of being seen or heard arises in your country, let us also see it or hear it. The latter sent him a similar letter in reply. As time went by, King Wooden Vehicle obtained extremely valuable and precious blankets. In color, like the rays of the newly arisen sun, he thought, I will send them to my friend. He had the ivory workers carve out 8 ivory caskets and put the blankets into them. He had the lac masters make 8 balls of lac similar to outside balls of lac, had them placed in a container, wrapped it in cloth, stamped it with the royal insignia, and sent his ministers with the message, give this to King, the King of Varanasi. And he included a letter that said, you should inspect this present in the middle of the city, surrounded by your ministers. They went and gave the present to the King of Varanasi. He read the letter, assembled his ministers in the royal courtyard in the middle of the city. He broke the seal, removed the wrapping, and opened the container. When he saw the 8 balls of lac, he felt embarrassed, thinking, my friend has sent me balls of lac as he would to little children who play with balls of lac. He then struck one of the balls of lac against the seat on which he was sitting. Immediately the lac fell off, and the ivory casket, having obtained an opening, split into 2 portions. When he saw the blanket inside, he opened the others, and the same thing happened. Each blanket was 8 meters long and 4 meters wide. When a blanket was stretched out, it seemed as if the royal courtyard was being illuminated by the light of the sun. On seeing this, the crowd applauded and waved cloths, delighted to know King Wooden Vehicle, the unseen friend of our king, has sent him a present suitable for one friend to send to another. The king called dealers and had each blanket evaluated. They informed him that all the blankets were invaluable. The king then thought, it is proper for one giving a present afterward to offer a present that surpasses one given to him. But the present sent by my friend is invaluable. What can I send my friend? Now, at that time, the Blessed One Kassapa had arisen and was living in Varanasi. So the king thought, there is no gem superior to the triple gem. Let me inform my friend that the triple gem has arisen. He then had the following verse inscribed with natural vermilion on gold foil. The Buddha has arisen in the world for the welfare of all living beings. The Dhamma has arisen in the world for the happiness of all living beings. The Sangha has arisen in the world, the unsurpassed field of merit. He also described the practice of a bhikkhu up to the attainment of arahantship. He placed the letter in the box made of the 7 gems.
This, so let me recite this Pali one also, very interesting verse. Buddho loke samuppanno hitaya sabba paninam, dhammo loke samuppanno sukhaya sabba paninam, sangho loke samuppanno punyakkhettam anuttara. So that is the verse that he has written. Okay, so that's... No, I just found the, you know, the Pali commentary. So Bhikkhu Bodhi has translated. So the Pali verse is also very interesting. That's why I just want to put that. You can continue. Yeah.
He also described the practice of a bhikkhu up to arhantship, of a bhikkhu up to the attainment of arhantship. He placed the letter in a box made of the 7 gems. This in a box made of money jewels. the box of money, jewels, in one made of cat's eyes, the box of cat's eyes in one made of rubies, this in a box made of gold, this in a box made of silver, this in a box made of ivory, and this in a box made of heartwood. He had the heartwood box placed in a basket, wrapped the basket with a cloth, and an excellent royal elephant decked with golden flags and golden ornaments and a golden net, and set up a couch on top of it and had the basket mounted on the couch. Then with a white parasol held above it, with offerings being made of all sorts of incense, flowers, and other items, with hundreds of hymns of praise being sung, accompanied by all sorts of music, he himself led it along the road to the boundary of his own country, kingdom. A road that had been ornamented for the occasion. And standing there, he sent the present to the neighboring kings with instruction, "You should convey this present with similar honors." When they heard this, those kings in turn came out along the road and brought the present as far as the boundary of the realm of Wooden Vehicle. When King Wooden Vehicle heard of this, he came out along the road and, venerating the gift in the same way, brought it to the city. He assembled the ministers and citizens, and in the royal court he removed the cloth around the gift, opened the basket, and saw the boxes. In sequence, he opened all the boxes until he saw the letter inscribed on gold foil. On reading it, he was delighted, thinking, "My friend has sent me a precious present, extremely hard to obtain, even in 100,000 eons. He then thought, we have heard indeed what we had not heard before, namely, that the Buddha has arisen in the world. Let me go see the Buddha and hear the Dhamma." Then he addressed his ministers. "It is said that the gems of the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha have arisen in the world. What do you think should be done?" They replied, "You stay here, great king. We will go and find out what is happening." Then the 16 ministers, accompanied by their 16,000 followers, paid homage to the king and departed, saying, "If the Buddha has arisen in the world, you will not see us again. If he has not arisen, we will return." The king's nephew, having venerated the king last, said, "I too will go." The king said, "Dear, if you learn that the Buddha has arisen, come back and inform me." He agreed and left. As they traveled, passing only one night, wherever they stopped, they eventually reached Varanasi. However, before they arrived, the Blessed One attained final Nibbana. They traveled around to all the monasteries asking, "Who is the Buddha? Where is the Buddha?" And when they met his personal disciples, they inquired from them. The disciples told them that the Buddha had attained final Nibbana. They wept, exclaiming, "Alas, we made such a long journey, but we did not even get to see him." But they asked, "Bhante, did the Blessed One give you any exhortation?" "Yes, the lay disciples, he did. He said one should be established in the three refuges, should undertake the five precepts, should observe the eight factors of the Uposatha, should give gifts, and should go forth. Having heard this, all the ministers except the nephew went forth. The nephew departed for the realm of wooden vehicle, taking along a relic of use. A relic of use includes the Bodhi tree, the alms bowl, a robe, and so forth. But he also brought an elder who was a Dhamma practitioner of the Blessed One, and an upholder of the Dhamma, an upholder of the Vinaya. In stages, he reached the city and informed the king. The Buddha arose in the world, but he has attained final Nibbana. He then told him about the exhortation. The king approached the elder and heard the Dhamma. He built a monastery constructed of a chaitya and a plant and planted a sapling of the Bodhi tree. Having taken on himself the three refuges and constant precepts, he also observed the eight factors of the Uposatha and gave gifts. He lived out the remainder of his lifespan and was reborn in the desire sphere, Deva world. Those 16,000 pupils who had gone forth died as worldlings and became the retinue of that same king. Having passed one interval between Buddhas in the Deva world, before our Blessed One arose, he passed away from the Deva world and was reborn as the son of the chaplain under the father of King Pasenadi. He was named Bhavari. He had three characteristics of a great man, was a master of the three Vedas, and after his father passed away, he ascended to the position of chaplain. The others, the 16,016 students, were reborn in the same place into Brahmin families in Savati. The 16 senior students studied under Bhavari, and other 16,000 studied under them. Thus they again all encountered one another. When King Mahakosala died, they anointed Pasenadi to kingship. Bhavari became his chaplain too. The king gave Bhavari the wealth given by his own father and still more wealth. For when he was young, he studied under him. Thereafter, Bhavari informed the king, "Great king, I will go forth. Teacher, while you are here, it is as if my father is still here. Do not go forth." "Enough, great king, I will go forth." Since the king could not prevent him, he entreated him, "Then go forth in my royal garden, in a place where I can see you each evening and the next morning." Together with the 16 pupils and their own retinue, totaling 16,000, the teacher went forth in the manner of a hermit and lived in the royal garden. The king provided him with the four requisites and attended upon him in the evening and the next morning. Then one day the student said to the teacher, "Living near a city is said to be a great impediment. Let's go, teacher, to an uninhabited area. It is said that living in remote lodgings is beneficial for those who have gone forth." The teacher agreed and informed the king. The king tried three times to prevent him, but being unable to stop him, he gave them 200,000 coins and ordered two ministers. "You should get a hermitage built wherever the rishis wish to live and offer it to them." Then the teacher, accompanied by the 16,016 Jatkalas, matted hair ascetics, and assisted by the ministers, set out from the northern country and headed south. Having referred to this matter, at the time of the council, the Venerable Ananda, when setting up the introduction to the chapter on the way to the beyond, recited these verses.
So this verses in the city of the Kosala Swami.
So that is from where the real Sutta Nipata, verses begin. So what we have just went through is the commentary to those sermons or to those verses, and how Babari, the Brahmin Babari, come to the picture, and it is kind of a long story. Basically, the commentary explains about his past life, how in past life it has happened, and how he was a righteous king, and then he was reborn into the celestial realm, and again coming back during the our Buddha's time. So now he is named as Babari. Previously he was the king of that wooden vehicle. He's the king of the wooden vehicle with those 16 ministers and the 16,000 other students, and now they are reborn the same kind of a group. Now he's a teacher as the Babari, and his students are those ministers are now another students, but now they are more into the spiritual side. So they gave up all the luxuries, and they were actually living into this Pasenadi Kosala, because Babari was the teacher to the Pasenadi Kosala's father. So Pasenadi Kosala is the present king of the Buddha's time. You know, in the Kosala kingdom. So Pasenadi Kosala is the one who closely associated Buddha. Can you remember that many stories that he approached the Buddha? He's having different discussions. Sometimes he go and tell, "I ate too much. I can't bear things. So please help me to overcome that." And then Buddha give various answers. And there's a separate Kosala Sangyutta. Kosala Sangyutta is where many discourses Buddha delivered to King Kosala, and very interesting questions are there. So King Kosala's father is the great King Kosala, and to him this Babari was the teacher, and that's what this passage explains. So Babari was the teacher to two kings. That means the father king is the great King Kosala, and to him Babari is the teacher, and then he passed away, and then Pasenadi Kosala, his son, became the king. Even to him Babari was the teacher. And later, he and his students decided, okay, we are going to leave this city. We want to become ascetics. Now, king assigns two ministers to help them, and he gave money also to build a kind of ascetic village, maybe something like that, kind of a monastery, huge monastery. So now they are going there and staying there, and as ascetics, as jatilas. So jatilas are the ones having this, turbines, yes. So there's a matted hair ascetics. So they are called matted hair ascetics. So with a jata, in kind of a cloth prepared around their head. And there are not only them, actually, there are other jatilas Buddha encountered after he became fully enlightened. Other ascetics are also there. If you can remember, Uruvela Kassapa, Nadi Kassapa, Gaya Kassapa. So they are also ascetic groups. So they also are rishis, and with this, matted hair ascetics, jatilas. And Buddha was able to convince them, and they understood the teaching, and they all became arahants. If you can remember that after Buddha sent away the 60 arahants, the very early arahants, so then he himself go to this particular place, Nadi Kassapa, Gaya Kassapa, Uruvela Kassapa, and there he did this kind of a conversion, we can say. He preached the Dhamma, and they were slowly convinced. It's quite difficult to convince them because they were thinking that they are arahants. And slowly, ultimately, they convinced that they are not arahants. Buddha is the arahant. and they ultimately become students, and ultimately they become arhants also after following the teaching. Now they are another group of ascetics. Now here we are talking another group of ascetics who are coming towards the Buddha to learn the teaching, but this time Buddha is living. Last time, during the last birth, when they are searching for the Buddha, unfortunately, Buddha already passed away. Probably if they met the Buddha, probably even during that time, they may be able to do something. But unfortunately, when they are arriving in search of the Buddha, the Buddha Kassapa already passed away. But now, at this time, the story is very interesting. So we'll go through that story. So Bhavari and the other students, like 16,016 students, are staying in this particular place. What's that called? Place is called Kosalans, no? Wherever. So they are there, and they were, since they are ascetics, since they are Jatilas, so they are doing various rituals. And those rituals had one time a huge Yaga, how the English term Yaga. We may encounter that. So this information we'll go through with this verse. I'm just summarizing what we are going to heard. So they are doing a Yaga, and after that, so they have nothing basically. So whatever they received, all the gifts, everything, money and everything, they have given up. So all donated. And now that Yaga finished, completed, and they now return, particularly the teacher, the Bhavari, returned. Now a separate Brahmin come and ask something from this Bhavari. He's asking money, basically. But he has nothing, already given. But once he said that, I don't have anything, I already did this Yaga, so everything what I had was given up, so I have nothing to give you. So this fellow doesn't believe him, and he made a curse. Within 7 days, your head will be blown out. Then Bhavari got really stuck and really afraid. And then the one celestial being who are helping them actually approached Bhavari and informed that, don't worry, so that fellow is a really cunning fellow, and he doesn't know what is the head and what is the blowing of the head or the splitting of the head, and he don't worry about it. And then Bhavari was somewhat all right, and he is asking, do you know what is the head? Do you know how to split the head? Then the celestial being say, no, I also don't know. Then Bhavari asks, then who knows it? Then the Buddha is there in the Savatthi. Now he is sending his 16 students to Savatthi to check whether he is the real Buddha. That's very interesting, how they are approaching the Buddha. And that is the part now we are going to discuss. So that is how the real, what we have already discussed is the commentary. Now the canon is coming to teach or coming to talk, discuss. So we'll start with the first verse. So the first verse goes like this in the Sutta Nipata, the beginning verse of this, what we call Vattu Gatha. Kosalanang pura ramma agama dakhina patang akinchanyang patthayanu brahmano manta parugu. So this the Bhavari who is full-fledged in this Vedas and who wants to give up everything and have basically nothing, and he abandoned the king Kosala and he went to Dakshinapatha, so the south side of India, you would say. Dakshinapatha. This place. Where the Bhavari was. Yeah. So you can read the 976.
Desiring the state of nothingness, a Brahman master of the hymns went from the delightful city of the Kosalans to a region in the south. Desiring the state of nothingness, a Brahman master of the hymns went from the delightful city of the Kosalans to a region in the south.
So desiring the state of nothingness, a Brahmin master of the hymns went from delightful city of the Kosalans to a region in the south. So now the Pali verse goes, the next Pali verse. So asasakassa vise alakassa samasane vasi godhavari kule unjena cha palena cha. So you can go to the next one. So there are two kings. One is called Asaka, the other one is called Mulaka. And they have found a place in between these their kingdoms. And Godavari Nadi Thirehi, so in the bank of the river called Godavari. And that is where they found the place, the river Godavari. Mm. Even now it is named as Godavari, no? Good, great. Same place is there. Mm. This is that place. Mm. Interesting. Yeah, please go ahead.
In the domain of Asaka, in the neighborhood of Alaka,
yeah,
he lived on the bank of the Godavari River by means of gleaning and fruit.
Gleaning the fruit. So basically, they are simply using the whatever the fruits they were able to obtain from the forest. They are not making any other kind of farming or something like that. So it seems like they haven't gone even to the village to collect food, but whatever the available, very simple way of life they have spent, it seems. But anyway, it is in the bank of the Godavari River, and which is in between the two kingdoms belong to King Asaka and King Alaka. And then the next verse going like Tasseva Upanisaya Gamocha Vipulo Ahu Tato Jatena Ayena Mahayanya Pakampayi. So now they are conducting that great Yaga. So there's a great donation, a dana is now they have arranged. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
Situated nearby, there was a large village with the revenue that arose from it, he held a grand sacrifice. Hmm.
So then now he is earning something because that given by the king and assigned to him, whatever the village is earning. So that is offered to this ascetics. So that is because of the order of the king. As a support coming from the king now, so because he's the teacher of the king also. This Bhavari is the teacher of the king. So what happened was when he decided to go to this Dakshinapatha, to the south, so he sent two ministers and as well as they have given money, and so they have established this huge monastery and ordered the close by his village, whatever the earnings that they are supposed to give to the king, now it is coming to them. So they have something to, you know, survive. So money is also there. So whatever the money they have gained so far, they offered it as a yaga, as a great sacrifice. Now they have nothing. At that moment, what's going to happen? We'll see that. The Pali verse, no? Okay. Next Pali verse. Mahayanyang yajitvan punapavisi asamang tasming pati pavittammi anyo aganchi brahmano. Now after completed the yaga, the great sacrifice, now he returned back to his place. And once he was kind of taking a rest, another Brahmin is approaching him.
Having completed the grand sacrifice, he again entered the hermitage. When he had re-entered, another Brahmin arrived.
So then, Uggatha Pado Tasito, Pankadanto Rajasiro, Yochanang Upasankam, Satani Pancha Yachati, Satani Pancha. That means 500 coins, 500, coins we can say. Yeah, 500 coins he is now asking from this teacher Bhavari.
He had calloused feet, he was thirsty, he had dirty teeth and a dusty head. Having approached his host, the visitor asked for 500 coins.
Tamenam bhavari diswa asanena nimantai sukhancha kusalam pucci idang vachana mabruvi. So he's simply showing his hospitality, the bhavari, the Brahmin, he's showing his hospitality. He's asking him to come in and offering him a seat and asking what you need or something, kind of a cordial discussion.
Having beheld him, Bhavari invited him to a seat. He asked about his happiness and health and spoke this statement.
Yanko mamang deya dhammang sabbang vissajjitam maya anujanahi me brahme natti pancha satani me. So he said that whatever I had, so I have given up as a great sacrifice. But now I can't give you 500 coins.
Whatever wealth I had to give away, I have disposed of it all. Believe me, Brahmin, I do not have 500 coins.
Believe me, Brahmin, I have nothing. So people can't believe because he's the very much like a ruler of that whole village, the whole ascetic village. Now another poor guy is coming and asking some money. He says, I have given up everything. You just came late. I'm sorry. So he can't believe. So, yanko mamang deyya dhamman sambandha. Right. Sache me yachamanas bhavang nanu padasati sattame divase tuiham muddha palatu sattadha. Now he made a curse. The other Brahmin made a curse. So, when I am arriving, you asking this 500, you are not giving it. So within the 7 days, your head will be split into 7 pieces.
When I am making this request, if you do not present it to me on the 7th day from now, may your head split into 7 parts.
Interesting. Abhisankaritva kuhako bheravang so akittai tasatang vachanang sutva bhavari dukkito ahu. Now this Bhavari Brahmin become really upset after hearing that because it's a kind of a curse. And so he became frightened.
Having put on a performance, the charlatan uttered a fearsome curse. Having heard this statement, Bhavari was despondent.
Despondent. What's a despondent? stuck or kind of frightened.
Yeah, without any words. I can look it up.
So you're also referring dictionary, no? So then why not?
Stunned.
Do anything.
Yeah. You cannot speak. Like
you can't speak. Speechless.
Despondency is loss of hope, dejection.
Dejection. Loss of hope. So then what happened is ussusati anaharo soka salla samappito athopi evang cittasa jhanena na ramati mano. Now that's an interesting thing. Now he was really depressed in the other hand. He was got stuck, despondent, and he can't have it. He can't eat basically. And soka salla samappito. Now he's sorrowed. Soka salla means the salla is the dart of the sorrow. He has struck his heart. As a result of that, he can't develop jhana. Now these ascetics are jhana lovers and they are practicing the samatha meditation. They are with jhanas, but now he can't attain the jhana because his mentality has completely collapsed. So that is one thing in the samatha practice. Yeah, you need to have a very pleasant abiding, very comfortable way of life. If not, if you are being completely disturbed, then you might not be able to attain jhana. So that's why we need to have a kind of, that's why Buddha in a way approach in a different way. So samatha and vipassana, not mere samatha practice, not mere jhana, but you have to accompany that with the vipassana, the knowledge, the understanding. So you have not mere jhanic experience, but it is being fairly reinforced by the wisdom practice. So even though this kind of things happen, you are able to, sustain yourself. You are able to kind of cope up with it. So we always have different ups and downs of our life. So we can't say that we may go through the kind of very comfortable, luxurious way of life. So if this kind of a thing happen, approach has happened, someone come and curse you, you might get really upset because you are a very honest, very humble, very simple and, you know, very innocent person. So such a person, when someone coming and threatening, I mean, it's really hard because this Bhavari is a really a good person. Now, he has given up all everything and this fellow coming and cursing him. So it's kind of a really, you know, kind of a pathetic situation. So this Bhavari being a very honest person, he can't bear it. So he now ultimately he can't even attain jhana. Jhanena na ramati mano. Now even for jhana, his mind is not getting delighted, though he can't attain that.
Not eating, he became emaciated, stricken by the dart of sorrow. Then in such a state of mind, he did not delight in meditation.
So not delighted in meditation. Then uttrasattang uttrastang dukkhitang disva devata attha kamini bhavaring upasankam idang vachana mabruvi. Now there is a female god, and she noticed the situation of Bhavari, and she approached Bhavari, and now she is going to discuss or to kind of teach, explain or advise Bhavari.
That says, having seen him terrified and despondent, a deity who desired his good approached Bhavari and uttered this statement.
Naso muddhang pajanati kuhakoso dhanattiko muddhani muddha pateva jnanang tasana vijjati. So don't worry about this one. He's merely a one who is interested of money. He doesn't know really how, what is the muddha, what is the head, and what is the splitting of the head. So that has a different meaning actually. So head and the head splitting are a different way of delivering dhamma. So what is the head? Head is actually the avijja, the ignorance. How to overcome avijja is the path actually. So this fellow doesn't know about that. And so this devotee, so what's that? Deity. So deity is telling, so don't worry. So this one is really a cunning guy, so don't worry about him.
That charlatan who desires wealth does not understand the head. He has no knowledge at all about the head or head splitting.
Bhoti charahi janati thamme akkahi puchita muddhang muddhadi patancha thang sunoma vacho tava. Now Bhavari is asking from this female deity, so do you know the head? So do you know the splitting of head?
If you know, worthy one, please inform me when you are asked about the head and head splitting. Let us hear the word of yours.
Aham petang na janami, jnanang etta na vijjati, muddhang muddhadi pateva, jinanang hetta dasanang. So I also don't know what is the head. I also don't know how to split the head. Muddham muddhadi pateva, jinanang hetta dasanang. So you better see the person who has known to it. That's what I gain. Just go ahead.
I too do not know this matter. I have no knowledge at all of this, for the head and head splitting. Yeah. This is what the conquerors have said. Yeah. Have seen. This is what the conquerors have seen.
Then atako charahi janati asming putuvi mandale muddham muddhadi patancha thamme akkahi devati. Now he is asking, please tell me who is the real person who know the head and the head splitting. Please tell where he is, that great teacher is.
Then on this circle of the earth, who knows about the head and head splitting? Tell me this, O deity.
Yeah. And then Pura Kapila Vattumha Nikkanto Lokanayako Apacho Okkaka Rajas Sakyaputto Pabhankaru. Now deity is telling where the Buddha is. Now he has relinquished or renunciated from the Kapilavattu, the place where Buddha, you know, the prince Siddhartha was, and he is coming from Okkaka Rajas, a lineage of the king Okkaka, and he is the son of the Sakyans, and he is glorious.
It says, earlier, already the world leader, a descendant of King Okkaka, a Sakyan son, the maker of light, went forth from Kapilavatthu.
Kapilavatthu, yeah. Sohi Brahmana Sambuddho Sabba Dhammana Pargu Sabha Binya Balappattu Sabba Dhammesu Chakkuma Sabba Kammakkhayang Patto Vimutto Upadikkhaya. Now, I mean, this deity knows something, by the way. Now, she is telling some deep qualities of the Buddha. Sohi Brahmana Sambuddho Sabba Dhammana Paragu. Now, he is telling about the Buddha. So, Buddha has a complete knowledge of everything. Sabba Dhammam Paragu. So, he has a complete surpassing knowledge of this everything. Sabha Abhinya Balappattu. So, all the Abhinya, all the direct knowledge he gained. Sabba Dhammesu Chakkuma. And through his vision, he can see everything. Sabba Kammakkhayam Pattu. And he has extinguished all the karma. Vimutto. And he has fully liberated. Upadikkhaya, all the acquisitions have abandoned.
And the verse says, he, Brahman, is the enlightened one who has gone beyond all phenomena, who has attained...
Of what? Of?
Phenomena.
Phenomena, all phenomena, uh-huh.
Who has attained all super knowledge and power, the one with vision into the phenomena, into all phenomena, having attained the destruction of all kamma, he is liberated in the extinction of acquisitions.
Right. Buddhoso bhagava loke dhamman deseti chakkuma tang twang gantvana puchasu sote tang vya karissati. Now she is telling, buddhoso bhagava loke, and he is the Buddha, he is the accomplished one, and he is teaching the dhamma, and he is the one with the vision. So you better approach him, and you better ask the questions from him.
The Buddha, the blessed one in the world, the one with vision, teaches the Dhamma. Go to him and ask your question. He will explain that manner to you.
Yeah. Sambuddhoti vachosutta udaggo bhavari ahu sokasa tanuko asi pitincha vipulang labhi. Now, it is like in the Vedas, so about the Buddha, certain, you know, the characteristics of the Buddha is already mentioned in the Vedas. So now, the name, even the name of the Samma Sambuddha is known to him. Now, when the name is heard by the Bhavari, he was delighted. Samma Sambuddhoti Vachosutva Udaggo Bhavari Yahu. So he become really happy by hearing the name of the Buddha. So Buddha has arisen. Sokasa Tanuko, now his sorrow has depleted, sorrow has reduced. And Tanuko asi pitincha vipulang labhi. So he got rapture, he got happy. He become happy.
Having heard the word enlightened one, Bhavari was elated. His sorrow diminished and he gained abundant rapture.
Good. So Bhavari attamano udaggo tang devatam pucchati veda jato katam katamam hi gami nigamam hi vapana katanam katamam hi va janapade lokanatu yatta gantva namassemu sambuddhang deepa duptamang. So now he is delighted and he is further asking the questions, the one who really knows about the Veda. So he is asking further questions. Katamam hi gami nigamam hi vapana. Now what is the exact village, what is the close by village, what is the exact city where the Buddha is now residing. So once we know that, then we go and pay respect to him.
Delighted, elated, exhilarated, Bhavari asked that deity, in what village or town or in what country does the world protector dwell? Where we might go and pay homage to the enlightened one, the best of bipeds.
Savatthyan kosala mandire jino pahuta panyu varabhuri medaso so sakkeputto viduro anasavo muddhadi patassa vidu narasabho. So very interesting, by the way. I mean, these Pali terms are very 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 strong Pali terms. Savastiyan kosala mandire jino. Now in the Savatti, in the Kosala's kingdom, so this the conqueror, the Buddha, is there. Pahuta Panyo, he is with the great wisdom. Varabhuri Medaso, he is with the noble wisdom. And so Sakyaputto Vidhuro Anasavo, and he is the son of the Sakyans, and he is with Vidhura, I think, with the penetrative knowledge. Anasavo, he has completely abandoned the influxes. Muddhadipatasa Vidhu, and he know how to split head. And he is the king of the Narasabhu, I think the humans. I don't know, can you say the, what Bhikkhu Bodhi say?
The conqueror is in Savatthi, in the realm of the Kosala. There dwells the one of abundant wisdom, of excellent vast intelligence, the Sakyan's son, unrivaled, free of influxes, bull of men, is one who understands head splitting.
So basically now few more verses are there. Yeah, we can't finish it. I thought of we would be able to finish it. These are the entering verses. Very interesting. I mean, how to say? In a way, fairly poetic and fairly talking about the history and different parts of the ancient India and how they are living, ruling, and all that. Very interesting information. I mean, by going through these suttas, you can learn some history of the India. How the kingdoms were placed and what are the cities when they are approaching from one city to another city, what are the places. So in a way, giving us enough evidence that Buddha was there. Buddha was there because the names and villages are still some are available with the same name, isn't it? So then we'll stop here. I mean, if there anything else you need to add, actually we simply want to get on to this topic and start it. But we can't immediately right away start it because we need to go through the past stories and all. And maybe another time we can start with the real questions put into the Buddha by the students. Now, actually, if I summarize, so after now this Bhavari discussed with the students, and now Bhavari himself can't go there because now already he is 120 years old. So he is asking his students to go and meet the Buddha. Now students are going and meeting the Buddha, and they are asking questions through the mind, and Buddha reads their minds and give the answers through the words. Very, very interesting. So we learn these things in the future discussion. So anything else that you want to contribute? Yeah, please. Yeah. Please take the mic, yeah.
Actually, Vande,
yeah.
From South India,
mm-hmm.
This is the, in Mula Tripitaka, Buddha never go to South India.
Uh-huh.
But these are the 16 persons from South India, they go to visit Buddha. This is the only, that we can find in Tripitaka. So that is, I want to mention that.
Very good. This South India also is a really, there are some intelligent people were there. So they approach the Buddha and they learn Dhamma and they come back, then they establish Dhamma there. So very interesting how India has flourished, developed, and how the Buddha's message has spreaded throughout India. Yeah.
That place now also we have, it is now like an island. This Godavari Nadi.
Mm-hmm.
In that place, that is small island.
Small island.
If anyone wants to go, they can visit that place.
What's the name given right now?
Bodhan.
Bodham.
Bodhan. That Bodhan. Village name. Bodhan. Bodhan.
Thank you. Bhante, this story is similar to another one where a king sent message of the Buddha to his other king friend.
Yes, yes. That is that Pukkusati.
Pukkusati.
In the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta. Now, the little different only thing is that the king himself, you know, give up the whole kingdom and he is coming in search of the Buddha in that sutta.
Right, right.
Yeah, so in that sutta, King Bimbisara is the king who has the friend called Pukkusati and faraway country. In present day, it is called, I think, in the Afghanistan region. And so this Pukkusati was there. And now King Bimbisara is sending him the message that the Buddha has arisen. And with some short teaching written. And Pukkusati, the king Pukkusati opens it. And he was delighted and he read through the instructions and he attained jhana. And now he want to give up even the kingdom. So he secretly got the robes and he is now giving up the kingdom and coming in search of the Buddha. And Buddha and King Pukkusati, that monk, is now meeting closer to Rajagaha.
I was just wondering whether these were the same stories because some of the details are quite similar.
Mm-hmm. Two stories, there are big differences. Some similarities are there, like about the king's relationships are very similar. And only thing is, now this story is belong to the previous king, previous Buddha. You know that?
Kassapa.
Buddha Kassapa's time, these two kings were exchanging gifts. But here, in this Buddha's time, King Pukkusati and King Bimbisara were exchanging gifts. Very interesting. Yeah.
Yes, Bhante, thank you so much. I really enjoyed your reading as well. And it makes sense how everything sort of linked to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in a vast time frame.
Exactly.
That is what I thought it is much better to sort of say.
Mm-hmm.
In February period, same day, I was listening in through US this kind of a talk. That was the time, your Thursday, which I inform Channa's departure.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A day like today.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. If there are no more questions, then I'll ask Venerable Dhamma Vijita to conclude the session by reciting the sharing of merits.
Thank you, Swaminansa, for your teaching today and for all those who participated. Thank you. So we'd like to extend these merits to all those who need merit and wish merit for everybody. Ittavata ca